This is episode one of This Week in Nuclear, brought to you on December 26, 2005. This podcast brings you news, facts, and commentary on the commercial nuclear power industry in the United States and around the world. In our first story today, this was brought to us by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission on December 22, 2005. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission approved the license renewal for Point Beach Nuclear Plant, giving Point Beach an additional 20 years of operation. The life extension was approved on November 18th by the Advisory Committee on Reactor Safeguards, which is an independent body of technical experts which advises the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The Advisory Committee issued its recommendation that the Point Beach license be renewed, and that brings the total number of renewals to 39 reactor units around the United States that have been extended for an additional 20 years. Point Beach is located at Two Rivers, Wisconsin, and the licensee, which is Nuclear Management Company, or NMC, submitted the license renewal application in February of 2004. Point Beach Unit 1 is going to be extended until October of 2030, and Point Beach Unit 2 will be extended to March of 2033. Here's an interesting story also from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission website. The NRC staff has proposed a $96,000 civil penalty against Pacific Gas and Electric for spent fuel pool storage violations at Humboldt Bay Nuclear Station. And for those of you who are not aware of it, Humboldt Bay Unit 3 Nuclear Plant was shut down in 1976. So it has essentially been shut down for 30 years, and it's been in a safe storage status since 1988. The NRC identified three violations associated with three 18-inch segments of a fuel rod that records show were removed from the reactor in 1968. In addition, the company had difficulty accounting for some in-core detectors that were removed in 1973. This story is kind of interesting because it's indicative of the tremendous detail that needs to go into the record keeping for radioactive material that comes out of commercial nuclear power plants. Can you imagine that this company is being fined almost $100,000 for losing track of three 18-inch pieces of a fuel rod? Now, these fuel rods are no bigger around than a pencil. So three 18-inch segments of a fuel rod from a reactor that's been shut down almost 30 years. In their letter, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission stated that based on their inspections and review of the utility's response, they are confident that Pacific Gas and Electric has taken the appropriate actions to maintain an accurate inventory of the contents of their spent fuel pools in the future. So then you gotta wonder, what's the point of the civil penalty? This past Thursday night, there was an event at the Torness station in the United Kingdom. Apparently the operators at the plant had difficulty replacing a spent fuel element in its proper location for storage. British Energy, the operator and owner of the plant, called emergency services as a precaution. The services that were sent included the standard response of six normal fire pump engines and four special units to the site. No one was injured and there was no risk of radiation during the incident. The plant continued to operate at full power as normal. The local media response is interesting. This relatively simple occurrence, and you can see there are two decidedly different spins from the local media. The anti-nuclear movement, called the Greens and Friends of the Earth, voiced concerns that the incident highlighted another reason why the plant should be given no second chances in the forthcoming energy review. However, a local labor leader attacked the Greens' opinion as, quote, opportunistic criticism. And far from this incident being a sign of dangers of nuclear power, the precautions that were taken amply demonstrate the high safety standards which the United Kingdom nuclear industry conforms to. back on the home front, the Tallahassee Democrat just this week published an article citing growing demands for electricity and efforts to reduce dependence on natural gas and other fossil-fueled electricity generation in Florida means that the state of Florida will increase its use of nuclear energy in the future. Last week, the Florida State Public Service Commission released its annual 10-year outlook on electric generating capacity and concluded that nuclear power is an important element in future production. There are two nuclear utilities in Florida, Progress Energy and Florida Power and Light. Progress Energy, according to the article, is marching at the front of the parade towards additional nuclear capacity. Progress Energy's CEO states that the company plans to build a new nuclear plant in Florida by 2015. And they plan to announce the proposed site this coming spring. Florida Power Light also is considering additional nuclear capacity. FPL is a partner in New Start Energy, which is a consortium of power companies to build new nuclear power plants. This past September, New Start narrowed its possible sites for a new nuclear plant to locations in Alabama and Mississippi. Newspapers in Japan are reporting that two Japanese companies have entered into the final round of bidding for U.S. nuclear power plant manufacturer Westinghouse Electric Company. If either of these Japanese companies were to win the bid, the global industry could undergo a significant realignment. The two companies are Mitsubishi Heavy Industries and Toshiba Corporation. Westinghouse manufactures pressurized water reactors, and both Mitsubishi Heavy Industries and Toshiba are currently involved in construction of nuclear power plants in Japan and around the world. Mitsubishi is a partner of Westinghouse in the fabrication of pressurized water reactors, and Toshiba is currently an ally of General Electric building boiling water reactors. If Toshiba wins the bid, Toshiba GE Camp would become dominant industry leader, moving past Areva, which is the French manufacturer of pressurized water reactors. Some interesting statistics. More than 40% of the world's nuclear power plants are pressurized water reactors, generally based on the Westinghouse design. And at the end of 2004, there were 57 light water reactors either in planning or under construction worldwide. 48% of those 57 were pressurized water reactor types, and 9 of the 57 were boiling water reactor types. Many industry officials expect pressurized water reactor types to be dominant in China and the United States, two of the most promising markets for increased nuclear power capacity. China is by far the biggest market. By the year 2020, China expects to build about 30 reactors, 10 of which are in planning and construction stages now and are all pressurized water reactors. Speaking of construction in China, a very interesting article was posted by the China Daily News on December 23rd. It states that contracts for the Lingao Phase 2 nuclear project in South China's Guangdong province were signed yesterday on the 22nd of December. This is interesting because two Chinese companies were awarded the contracts to build and design the power plant. At stake here are two 990-megawatt reactors to be built at a site where two already exist. The original reactors were built using French technology. That technology has been transferred and is now owned by China. Two companies that won the bids are China National Nuclear Corporation and Guangdong Electric Power Design Institute. First company will design two reactors for the two units, and the second company will build and design the turbines and generators. It marks an important step for China in developing its own technology and capability to build nuclear power plants. As we said earlier, China expects to build approximately 30 plants over the next 15 years. The ambitious target is 2 1,000-megawatt reactors every year for the next 15 years. The National Society for Professional Engineers recently reported that nuclear engineers have the highest average annual salary of all disciplines of engineering in the United States. The average nuclear engineer earns $119,643 per year, followed by petroleum engineers who earn $117,000. Also interesting is the Engineering Income and Salary Survey performed by the National Society of Professional Engineers found that the average salary for entry-level engineers with less than 1 year of experience is slightly above $46,000 per year. If you have a professional engineer's license on top of that, you earn about an additional $3,000 to $5,000. And finally, on December 12th, the U.S. Department of Energy's Energy Information Administration released its annual energy outlook for 2006 with projections through 2030. In that report, the U.S. Department of Energy estimates that 6,000 additional megawatts of electric generating capacity will come from the construction of new nuclear plants, providing another indication that nuclear power is on the move in the United States. This concludes Episode 1 of This Week in Nuclear for December 26, 2005. Thank you and have a great week.